This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by You Build It. There is a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So today, Amazon announced that they are throwing in an additional $1 million plus dollars into the Seattle City Council election. They have been backing a bunch of candidates in districts that they believe hold more reasonable positions than the incumbents and some of the folks like Socialist Tammy Morales and Socialist Sean Scott and Socialist Shama Sawant and Socialist Lisa Herbold and Socialist Dan Stroud. Are you getting the hint here? Lots of socialists are running. Socialism is bad for America. Socialism is bad for Seattle. Socialism is bad for Amazon. So they're stepping up in total, putting in almost $1.5 million. They donate the funds to the Seattle Metro Chamber of Commerce's Political Action Committee. They're called the Civic Alliance for a Sound Economy. Their director is Markham McIntyre.
We want what voters want, which is a functional city council that gets back to the basics and effectively addresses our significant challenges like traffic, housing affordability, and homelessness.
So what exactly are they going to do with the money? Very simply, they're going to put it into the candidates they support with mailers and events.
The candidates that we're supporting would be excellent additions to the city council, that they care deeply about the city and making progress on those issues like transportation, housing affordability, and homelessness. And we want voters to know that they have the experience and the ability to bring Seattle together to help make progress on those issues.
So because Amazon is a business and because progressive activists in Seattle hate businesses, but they especially hate big business, they've come together to pretend that they're outraged. They are outraged by this. They cannot believe it. You are trying to buy our election. Heather Weiner, who is with an organization called the Civic Alliance for a Progressive Economy. Heather Weiner, the political activist, the consultant behind the failed Carrie Moon for Mayor campaign. Heather Weiner, the political activist and consultant who tried to make a big deal out of some traffic tickets from Phil Tavel, despite Lisa Herbold, his opponent, having way more. She's outraged. She says that Amazon knows it can't win by fighting Seattle's record. I hope they don't talk about the record of homelessness and opioid crisis and our record-breaking numbers of lawlessness. I hope that's not what they're talking about. She calls this something akin to a hostile takeover of a city. She's ridiculous. She believes that the city is being bought. And yet at the same time, I'm looking at the numbers. Amazon puts in $1.4 million. We did the math earlier in the show. Unions, labor unions, they're putting in at least $1.6 million. The national union behind Unite Local 8 or Unite Here Local 8, their national organization just registered here in Seattle. Just happened not too long ago. They're pouring hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars, pouring it into these elections because they understand that they see Seattle as sort of a testing ground for national ideas. They want to test stuff out in Seattle before they bring it national. They want to use Seattle as a guinea pig. They want to use this region as a guinea pig. And they know right now they have total control of people like Lisa Herbold. They know right now they have total control of people like Deborah Juarez, an incumbent. And they certainly know that they'll be owed if they put Tammy Morales into power, or Dan Strauss into power, or Sean Scott into power, or keeping Lisa Herbold and Shama Sawant in power. And yet they're putting in more money. Unions are putting in way more money than Amazon, but that's okay. Tomorrow, there is going to be a press conference. I'm hoping to get one of the officials from these Democratic groups to come on the show. I don't think they're going to, but I'd love to have them on because they have announced that they're going to try to keep big business PACs out of elections. Note they say big business PACs. They're okay with the PAC dollars that they get. They're okay with the union dollars that they get. They're okay with that. But they're outraged here. Them being outraged is good for all of us because it means they're losing. It means that they are shaking in their boots. They are terrified of what we're trying to do in this city, which is simply not to make it a conservative city, Seattle will never be conservative. We just don't want it to be insane to the left. We just don't want it to be crazy fringe. That's all. I think I'm being reasonable on this. There isn't a single candidate who's running right now that's a conservative. There isn't a single candidate that I even agree with 90% of the time. But I would rather agree with them 10% of the time than 0% of the time. And you can already tell that people are freaked out because in Shama Sawant's district, and I believe she's going to lose, she's running against a very progressive guy in Egan O'Ryan. She's pretending that he's a Republican because he happens to be friendly to small businesses. I want people friendly to small businesses. That's why I like him. That's why I like Phil Tavel. That's why I like Ann Davis and Sattler. I'm getting a sense that things are ready to change, but you have to help. You have to help. Doesn't matter you don't live in Seattle. We have seen bad Seattle policy spread to Edmonds and Kirkland and Tacoma and Olympia. We've seen it creep into Snohomish County and Pierce County and Thurston County and Island County. We're seeing it happen everywhere. And so that's why you need to get more involved. And that means shining a spotlight on some of the scandals. It means donating money and your time to the campaigns of council people, council candidates, even if you live in Monroe, even if you live in Sultan or Issaquah or Sammamish or Shelton, you got to step up. I've got a pretty in-depth piece right now on the blog at ktth.com that I hope you'll read. It's not radio-friendly, which is why we're not talking about it much. But I take you behind the scenes of how activists like Heather Weiner work, using opposition research to smear people unfairly, and what you can do to stop that kind of nonsense. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. Text the keyword RANTZ to 1-800-465-8770. And I'm going to send you a link to my story. Please read it and please post it. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
So right now, the Democrats are on stage. They're talking about impeaching the president. Kamala Harris has already got called out as being unfair, and she wants to pretend that Trump has already admitted to a bunch of crimes. Of course we should arrest him. Throw him in jail. But at some point, they're going to get off the president, because this is a three-hour thing. It's a long affair. And they're going to start getting into some of the meat and potatoes, the policy prescriptions. And right now, you've got some of the more sane voices, or at least in this context, saner voices, within the Democratic movement, calling out people like Elizabeth Warren for having insanely expensive ideas. Even if you like some of the ideas, the point that Joe Scarborough made this morning on Morning Joe is that you can't afford them, and so what's the point?
There is not enough money for a country that's $23 trillion in debt to pay for one-tenth of what she's proposing. Now, that, you know, when somebody brought that up on the stage, that inconvenient truth, she said something like, I don't know why we're running just to say what we can't do. Well, you know what? I can't get a rocket pack on my back and fly to Mars after the show. That doesn't mean that, you know, I don't love America or whatever. She can't
example.
Do it. It's impossible. We don't have the money.
Okay. I mean, it's a bunch of weird examples, because let's say you were given a rocket pack. You still can't journey to Mars with just the rocket. But you got
I
his point.
I would love a rocket pack.
Well, and also, I don't know how it ties to loving this country either. But again, I get his point. Elizabeth Warren, if you put all of her proposals together, would cost us $48 trillion. $48 trillion.
That's a lot.
I know that she wants to tax the rich. I get it. I heard it. You'd have to charge everybody 100% tax rate, and you still wouldn't come close to getting to $48 trillion. You're just not going to get there. So what exactly is the point of all of this virtue signaling? This is about pulling out all of the fringe activists you can, because you're competing against a whole bunch of other fringe activists. And so they've decided they're just going to throw everything out there. They know Democratic voters and primary voters in general don't care about the details. This is nuts. You know what else is nuts? Ask me what else is nuts.
Jason, what else is nuts?
You know how you like the Seahawks?
I do like the Seahawks.
You know how I got you a pair of tickets to this weekend's game against the Baltimore Ravens?
Yes. Yes, I know.
About those tickets. I'd rather a listener give that, get them and go and enjoy the game instead of you.
I felt
it's that not that I don't value you, but it's
it?
I value them more.
I think you do value
because
them more.
Don't be mad.
You value the big pack rat that's outside by the dumpster more than me.
Yeah, okay. What's your point? Because I got a point, which is I want to give a code word right now for people to enter for their chance to win a pair of tickets to this weekend's home game against the Ravens. When you go to KTTH.com, enter the promo code HAIR. Because what do I love more than anything else about me?
Your stupid hair.
My hair, because it's amazing. This is a good haircut, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good haircut.
Yeah. Your barbershop did well.
Yeah, we're Valiant Barbershop for the win. Hair is the keyword. Go to KTTH.com, click on the Seahawks contest, enter the code word HAIR for your chance to win a pair of tickets to this upcoming Seahawks game. Do not text me the keyword HAIR. You have to go to KTTH.com and enter the code word HAIR. If you text me, I will send you a link. Click on that link and then you can enter the code word. Go to KTTH.com right now, click on the Seahawks contest, and enter the code word HAIR for your chance to win a pair of tickets, although people are already misspelling it. It's hair as in what's on my head. It's
not
hair
like
as in
animal.
What I have that's better than anybody else's.
Not like the animal.
Not the animal. And not like someone who you're giving money to after you're passing. Hair. H-A-I-R. You're listening to the Jason Ranch Show. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRant, or of course, just text the keyword Twitter to 1-800-465-877. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
This story is legitimately insane. And it's one of those stories that I think it's important to talk about because it feels like when we've decided to send away our parents or grandparents, anyone older in our life, to get some kind of sort of residential treatment, we're sending them to a home, as it were. You kind of assume that folks at these services, these assisted living facilities, will have their back each and every day, but sometimes, no. Sometimes they don't. As evidenced by the story out of North Carolina, where three women ran a fight club ring in an assisted living facility. The News and Observer from Raleigh, North Carolina, had the report. They said they were workers at the Danby House in Winston-Salem in June when they didn't intervene in a fight between two residents with dementia, according to a report from the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. Staff members took video of the fight, which led to one resident being strangled with her face turning red, and she ended up sharing it on social media. They say it happened when one resident hit another, and the report says staff members can be heard on video saying, "Punch her in the face." During the altercation, a staff member asked, "Are you recording? Are you going to send it to me?" God, they're losers. The employees let the fight happen because they say one of the residents, quote unquote, always caused problems, according to the state report. Though it doesn't name the staff members, the Winston-Salem Journal identifies them as, and even though we're in Western Washington, even though some of us will never, ever, ever go to North Carolina, I just want to put out their names just into the sort of the ether out there. I want the negative energy associated with their names to be felt everywhere, including in North Carolina where they live. Tanisha Deshaun Jordan, Tanasia Yvonne Tyson, and Marilyn Latish McKay. Everyone should know those names. Winston-Salem police arrested them this month and charged them with misdemeanor assault on an individual with a disability. But McKay faces an additional charge after she was accused of shoving one of the residents involved in the fight during a separate incident at the nursing home. Vet the places you send anyone. And let's extend this into the classroom, because how many stories have we had locally of teachers unable to teach a kid who's living on the autism spectrum? And how they've been abused, put in bathrooms, have tape put around their mouth, had them taped down onto a chair. How many times have we had those stories? And they happen because we don't properly vet. Now, I get why we don't vet each and every person we have any interaction with, because we have this assumption that they've got our back. And for the most part, 99.9% of the time, the people should be trusted. But this is one of those instances that reminds us we can't always just automatically trust. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Big picture.
California Governor Gavin Newsom just signed a bill that will end the use of private prisons and privately run immigration detention facilities by the year 2028. And he said in a statement that during my inaugural address, I vowed to end private prisons because they contribute to over-incarceration, including those that incarcerate California inmates and those that detain immigrants and asylum seekers. These for-profit prisons do not reflect our values. Let's be clear. Adhering to the law doesn't fit California values, at least as it's defined by Gavin Newsom. And in a lot of ways, same thing here in Washington State, right? You can easily imagine Jay Inslee doing this. In fact, Jay Inslee's probably going to do this, and Democrats in Olympia are going to push for this because they saw California do it. And you know what? They're going to say to themselves, we can do it too. Now, of course, the view that prisons are inherently racist and detention centers are concentration camps, of course, that's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. It's a fringe crazy belief. But that's what they believe. And they think by doing something like this, they're actually winning a war on this. They're winning the argument. No, they're not. You know what's still going to happen? Despite this law being passed in California, maybe the law being passed here in Washington State, you know what's still going to happen? ICE is still going to be making the arrests and holding people. You get that, right? In fact, ICE, responding to this report, put out a statement that just said, all you're doing is you're just having us move to another state. We'll move our facilities instead of California. You know, we'll go to Arizona. We'll go to Idaho. We'll go to Wyoming. We'll put them somewhere else that maybe is going to be a little bit more hospitable to us. And you know what? We're still doing our jobs. We're still going after people who are in this country illegally and committing crimes. We're still going to put them in prison. But you know what you just did as a result of this? You live in California right now. You've decided that you're not going to have an ICE facility, but you didn't really get the sign-off completely from the federal government because we're still going to do this. All you've done is made it so that the family member of someone who is incarcerated in one of our facilities, you now have to make that family member travel even further to visit their loved one. So that Californian who maybe lives in the Bay Area, made a 45-minute drive at the most to one of the ICE facilities. Well, now you're going to force them to get on a plane and travel to Wyoming or Idaho or Utah or Nevada or wherever it is they end up putting it. That's not cool, bro, right? We're not upset about that? You think all of a sudden because you've put your foot down. You put your foot down, damn it. I sent a message, and you know what? As a result of this message, Trump administration has decided they're going to end all prison terms and all ICE facilities will be shut down. Of course, that's not how it works. They've decided that they can't win the argument nationally. So they take advantage of some small groups of activists that have put people in positions of power in California to make these moves that impact a lot more people negatively than positively. But okay, that's what you want to do. Kudos. You're a woke hero, Gavin Newsom. Let's not put anybody in jail because it's racist to punish people for, you know, committing acts of rape and murder and assault. We'll give them a hug, maybe a shoulder massage, talk about their feelings. That seems to be the pathway that we're going down in California and, frankly, here in Washington State. KTTH.com. Go there right now. Enter the promo code HAIR, H-A-I-R, on the Seahawks contest page. Seattle Seahawks take on the Ravens this weekend at CenturyLink. You have until midnight tonight, or excuse me, 11:59 p.m. tonight to enter the code word HAIR for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the matchup, pair of tickets that otherwise would have gone to producer Peyton, but we don't like to treat any of our staff members better than we would treat you.
Never.
Sorry.
Do I at least, like, get to leave the cage that night, or...
No, stupid. I'll let you watch a quarter. You can choose which quarter.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Fourth.
No, it's always going to be the fourth. That's how the Seahawks play. It's going to be a good matchup this weekend. Hope you guys win, or hope one of you wins a pair of tickets. And these are good tickets, by the way. Code word HAIR at KTTH.com. Welcome Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770, KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. A coalition of over 100 small and independent West Seattle businesses and business people have come together to say absolutely no to a second term for Seattle City Councilwoman Lisa Herbold. The group, which includes everything from Alamode Pies and Indigo Real Estate to Mission Cantina and Zippy Dogs, they have come out to support businessman and public defender Phil Tavel. This is happening as Herbold supporters have been pushing opposition research to unfairly smear Phil Tavel. The name of the group is District 1 Neighbors for Small Businesses. Dan Austin is the owner of Peel and Press, and he joins me to discuss. Dan, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So this is the kind of serious mobilizing that gets done when people are just fed up.
100%. This has been a groundswell happening for months. We had over 100 for a while now. We're waiting for the right time to come out. As business owners, it's never, especially small independent owners, it's never easy to come out and get involved in politics. Just a possible blowback or boycott situations that can happen. But a lot of us at this point feel that we don't have a choice but to speak up. We're not being represented by our council here, and it's not Amazon's not being represented by the council or Boeing's not being represented. It is the local businesses, and the owners live in the neighborhoods. We're not just businesses, but we're neighbors. We support the community. And we just got to a point where we've realized that Lisa does not listen, Councilwoman Herbold does not listen to us. She hasn't really been engaged with us. And we got a lot of supporters after, I really think this is blown back up in her face, she went after Phil on business license dissolutions, which were administratively done, which is actually an incredibly standard in the way to close your business in the state of Washington. And it brought on a good 12 or 14 more supporters in just the last few days who were shocked that she didn't know that. Just the basic lack of understanding has driven us to speak out.
So what does your activism look like? What are you guys going to actually do to help get people behind Phil Tavel?
You know, with just the list of restaurants in there, we have contact with roughly 15,000 visitors between all of our restaurants, more than that with all the retailers put together, a week. And many of us are going to start actively advocating inside with signage or possible when you get your check, a little note just saying that this business supports change on the council. Our goal is to try to reach out and to let people know that just because Phil has been supported by big business doesn't mean that he is owned by big business. He has been supportive and listening to us for years. As a former business owner, he understands the struggle better than anyone on that council because no one on that council has owned a business. I don't think we need 9 council folks that are all downtown interest and all business owners, but we certainly need 3, 4, 5 individuals who have experience in that realm to help shape better crafted policy.
You just need people who are reasonable. And I think it's very clear from folks who have dealt with Lisa Herbold and lived in West Seattle while she's been the council member, she doesn't come off as reasonable. And so I'm hoping for you can explain to us what it's been like, not just as a business owner, but also for the folks who live in West Seattle. What's it been like as she represents you? And we put represents in air quotes.
Well, there's definitely a part of the population that she represents very well, and that's the group that agrees 100% with her. If you're not in that group, it's harder to get a meeting. It's harder to get her to listen, if you can get her at all. She shows up in rooms, and you can talk at her, but she certainly isn't absorbing or learning or listening to what she's being told by other opposing views. And that's the thing where we really just need someone who actively listens and cares. You'll get a few supporters on a roundabout or this that are just Lisa's the greatest. And then you can talk to almost any small business owner. We've been blown off. We haven't been listened to. We've offered that if there's legislation coming up, we'd love to talk with you about it and kind of give you our side to help craft better policy. But the council makes sure that policy is 100% written the way they want it before they drop it.
Yeah.
And normally blindsides us, and we don't get an opportunity to even provide input or educate the council just a little bit. You know, we're not going to get 100% victory, but there's some things that can always be done to make it less painful. Make sure that our small business community out here is thriving and growing. And we don't get that opportunity. And it's come to a point where we we just can't do this anymore. It's a time for us to stand up and speak out.
Dan Austin is the owner of Peel and Press. It is a restaurant in West Seattle. He's a member of a group called District 1 Neighbors for Small Business. This is a group of over 100 small business owners, independent business owners, and retired folks who know what it's like to run a business in West Seattle. They've come together to say absolutely no to Lisa Herbold in her reelection campaign. And you can tell, Dan, that her side is getting very, very desperate over the weekend. We talked about this yesterday. Over the weekend, you saw a political consultant pushing opposition research to media members against Phil Tavel. They weren't picking it up, so she decided to go on the offensive, attacking Phil Tavel because he had some parking tickets. And yet, because of that, I looked into Lisa Herbold's background and found out she has way more parking tickets in the past, including incredibly dangerous ones, like speeding through a school crosswalk. That's outrageous, and I don't quite understand the hypocrisy. Are they so desperate they don't care that it comes off as petty as it's coming off?
I mean, I'm personally enjoying it to a fact that it's sad that the city council race in District 1 has become about parking tickets. Because I'm sure that's what most of the voters that are voting this cycle are concerned about, is the councilwoman's parking tickets. We're not talking about homelessness and public safety. Maybe we should talk about public safety in terms of speeding through crosswalks. But this is just a great diversionary tactic, to have people look over to the right when everything's going on the left. We need to look over. They're trying to distract, and it's sad. It's being seen through. Donations for our group have gone up since those attacks have started. People openly questioning what's going on out here and why is this even a thing. I actually think this is going to blow back, or it already has blown back for Lisa, and I think this is going a direction opposite of what she thought it was going to in crafting the message. She wouldn't be a news story about parking tickets and traffic violations if she didn't do these desperate attacks. And, I know there's many more people working on many more stories of things that,
yep,
that were, you know, I know there was a clean campaign was she kept challenging a clean campaign, and then to phrase that the state stepped in and dissolved, you know, had to step in and dissolve these companies like the boogeyman, when just it wasn't a filed report at the end of the year. The phrasing was desperate. It was a way to try to, wait for the biggest campaign, the televised, recorded Seattle, City Channel deal, wait for that one to drop this and phrase it in a way that is disingenuous. And it's just sad. It's just incredibly sad, but it's what we've seen for the last 4 years. You don't agree with the Amazon head tax, let's boycott you. If you testify against a different rollout of wage scheduling or tip credits in certain industries, you're a rich one percenter. Like, if you don't 100% agree with us, you're the worst person ever, and we're gonna come at you with ridiculous attacks.
Yeah, and the thing with Lisa,
what this city needs.
It isn't. And the thing is, with Lisa Herbold, she votes with Shama Sawant something like 97 or 98% of the time, which shows you just how extreme she is.
Yeah, it's incredibly hard. You know, I've actually tried to find the exact numbers. It's hard because Sawant also isn't around to vote a lot, so that number could be higher.
Yes, if she actually voted, it could be higher.
The vote. Yeah, but yes, there's not a lot. Sawant called out that she's buddies with her at a forum in City Hall, that her and Lisa were going to come after bringing back some new taxes, and that this is, we need to break this partnership up. This can't be the direction of the city council anymore. You know, I fear that economically we're going to be heading towards a downturn. Just basic economics shows that we're in line for one. And this spending and these policies and this taxation are going to decimate small businesses. When a James Beard award-winning restaurateur has to look at his business and shut down Sick Ken Spruce because of regulations and rent increases, it's a sad state.
Yeah, but you'll have activists over at the Stranger pretend that the minimum wage had nothing to do with it, that Seattle's a great place, and there's actually lots of restaurants that are opening. They completely put their head in the sand, and they willfully do it. They ignore the facts of situations because it doesn't fit their narrative. We've been talking with Dan Austin. He's the owner of Peel and Press. He actually has facts to back up his narrative, which is Lisa Herbold is not a good representative for West Seattle. If you don't live in West Seattle, understand, if you've got any friends or family members there, you need to step up, because bad policies of Seattle will spread to Bellevue and Edmonds and Monroe and Issaquah. They spread. So you need to speak up. You got to get back. We got to back Phil Tavel. donate money, donate time to his campaign, and make sure people know what it's really like living and working in West Seattle. Dan Austin from District 1 Neighbors for Small Business. Thank you, my friend, for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rand Show, live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Thank you so much for tuning in, telling all your friends. Really do appreciate it. One more time, we're giving away a pair of tickets to the Seahawks matchup this weekend against the Baltimore Ravens. You can enter for your chance to win with promo code HAIR, because my hair is amazing, and I make everything about me. Go to KTTH.com, click on the Seahawks contest, and enter promo code or keyword HAIR. For your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Seahawks match, you have up until 11:59 p.m. tonight to enter. Make sure you tell all your friends to enter. That's how you cheat. But that's an okay way to cheat. Like, that's not technically cheating. It's a little cheating. Like, morally, it's probably cheating.
But we're not going to stop.
But I'm not going to tell anyone. I'm not going to rat you out.
We're not narcs. Jason might be, but I'm not.
I'm not a narc.
You're not a narc?
Well, no, that's not true. I would call the cops in a heartbeat, but only because I love cops.
You love ratting on people because it makes you feel like a cop.
Detective Rance.
People call me Detective Rance. We got a text message today calling me Detective Rance. I know you saw that. People call me Detective Rance because I get to the bottom of a whole bunch of wrongdoing. And it's funny because many people don't realize this. I broke the story as a detective with Felicity Huffman, the actress in that scandal. I did all of the groundwork, and then I said, you know what? I don't need any of the press. I'm going to go back. You called me in. They said, Detective Rance, we have this problem. Rich people are scamming their kids into colleges all across the country. Please help me. You have a reputation as Detective Rance. So I did my work, and then I left. I let them take all the credit. Here's the problem, though. They, I think, abused the privilege of working with Detective Rance, because today, Felicity Huffman started her 14-day sentence in what's essentially a spa, but a federal prison.
No,
but it's kind of a spa.
14 days?
Yeah. Here's the deal. I certainly grant anyone who says that's hardly punishment, I grant you that argument. 14 days in a minimum security spa. Embarrassing, yes. She doesn't want to be there. She has to live with it. But it's still not really punishment. However, I'm okay with that because the story is being driven by hypocrites. She pled guilty to charges of fraud for paying for someone to proctor and correct her daughter's SAT test. That's wrong. Morally, it's wrong. Parents who help their kids get into better schools are doing it because they care about them. Doesn't make what she did right. But the parent out there who says they would never try to get their kid a leg up is lying to themselves and lying to all of us. The only reason we're getting mad is because Felicity Huffman is rich. If this exact same story came out and it was about a low-income single mother who's trying to get her son or daughter into Harvard, and she cheated the system a little bit to help that kid so he can be or she can be on a better path, the story and the narrative coming out of it by the media would be dramatically different. They would still say it's wrong, but they would take a slightly different tone, like, yeah, it's wrong, but I mean, you kind of feel for the mother. You kind of feel for her. You kind of feel for the kid. They're having a rough life. Otherwise, this kid, you know what, didn't live with the privilege of others. And the mom just did what she did. It's wrong, and of course we should say don't do this, but you know, you gotta feel for her. We would do that in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. So let us stop pretending otherwise, okay? Just saying. Just throwing that out there. Same thing with Lori Loughlin, the Full House actress, and I'm not only saying that because I love Full House.
I don't like
the Netflix room. It's not very good. She was charged, her husband, fashion designer Massimo Giannini, that guy. They've been charged. She's pled not guilty to money laundering and conspiracy charges. She remains free on bail. People should give her a pass, too. If you're willing to give someone who's low income a pass on this, then you should be willing to give someone who's rich a pass on this. Because here's the other thing. Yes, they cheated. I suppose they could have. Is this any different than the person who gets into a college simply because their wealthy parents, the legacy enrollment? Well, my wealthy dad also went here, and his wealthy grandmother went here, and her, like, it's the same thing. It's all scam.
Yeah, I'm not mad over it, and I was a kid in college who was, you know, battling with these other people trying to get into places, which, you know, I went to Central Washington, one of the most exclusive schools mm-hmm. in all
Everyone,
of the land.
Kids go to bed at night praying that they're able to get into CWU.
I was one of the few. And I worked hard, but I'm not mad at these families who are, you know, trying to, like, pay their way into CWU, if that's the case.
It is just a weird... It's a weird tactic for people to take when we're told that you always have your kids back, that you're supposed to fight for them, and yes, you know what, you're willing to bend the rules every now and then. Again, because they're wealthy, people are getting upset. The 425 sends in a text message. I totally disagree with you. I wouldn't cheat to get my daughters the upper hand. It's my responsibility as a parent to encourage her and promote her through hard work and dedication to acquire her position in the world. What sort of an example would I be setting if I did otherwise? Well, maybe you're a bad parent. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Stop. I'm kidding.
Wow.
I will say this, because the last point of this mom or dad, I'm sorry, I don't know the gender of the person. It makes a really good point. The kids didn't know. The kids say they didn't know, or the parents and the family members say the kids didn't know. And ultimately, the reason why you wouldn't do something like this is not just because it's immoral and unethical, but because when you get caught, this looks bad upon the kid, which is kind of unfair. I feel worse for the kids than I do for the parents here.
But, like, Lori Loughlin's kid didn't even want to be there. She was there for the experience.
I know.
I didn't feel bad for her. Cool. She got kicked out of USC. She really cared she'd go enroll at, you know, Arizona State University or something.
The 425 texts on the Numbetter Tax Resolution Hotline. Detective Rants. Media would take a different tone, but also the judge would probably throw the book at him. Maybe.
Did you see the other text in?
Love your show, Jason. Thanks, Christian.
No, I like Mitch calling you Detective Ranch.
No, that was just a typo.
I don't think so.
It was a typo. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. Listening to the Jason Ranch.